Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Empowerment Place and another episode of Fire and Desire with your host, Valerie Burwell, and Prophet Rodney Beeney. Excited about sharing with you again what the Lord has laid upon the heart of the prophet and that we will share. Speaking again regarding the will of God for our lives. So, Prophet, I'm going to turn it over to you and we'll get started. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Prophetess Valerie, again. And thank you for all that you're doing to impact the people of God. And certainly we believe that through the word of God, lives are being changed and transformed. And that certainly is the intent and purpose of God for all of us.
Amen.
There's a scripture in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 6, it says, circumcision and it availeth nothing but a transformed life. God is always after a transformed life. A lot of times we go through the motions of things. But the intent of God through what he takes us through is to transform us, is to change us. And we're on this journey to be ever evolving to be more like Christ, more like the King. So we thank God for the word that's going to be released and go forth tonight with the expectation that it's going to change and transform some lives. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Tonight, Prophetess, we're going to continue to talk about the plan of God, but tonight we're going to look at it from the aspect or the perspective of adversity and the plan of God. I think that all of us face adversity in life, adverse circumstances, things that appear on the surface that they're not going to work for our good or they're in direct opposition to what we believe God wants for our lives. And we've got to know how to respond to things like that, what God expects of us and when we face things like that so that we don't abort the plan of God for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so I want to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I just want to use this, some text here from chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians to kind of lay a groundwork, lay a foundation for what we're going to talk about tonight. And I think let's begin at verse 16. And we'll skip through some of this. We won't read the entirety of the chapter, but let's just begin there at verse 16. And this is the Apostle Paul, of course. He says, I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confident boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. Verse 20 says, for you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But if whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. So Paul is setting some things up here now.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 22, he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak of as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. And this is where we really, really want to begin to focus our attention. Verse 24 says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Why didn't God at least stop at one time?
Yeah.
Amen. Verse 25, he says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I had been in the deep. He's saying multiple times now I suffered and do this thing. You would think that God would stop it at least one time.
Yeah.
Amen. So on to verse 26, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things which comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Prophet Valor, I think that any of us, if we would do just a quick assessment on our lives, we would come to the conclusion that God has brought us through more than he has delivered us from.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of us go through life believing that God is going to deliver us from anything that comes against us or that does not appear to be working for us.
Right.
We go through life with that mindset that if something is coming against us, if something appears that is not going to work for us, that God is going to stop that. But in most instances, we find that he doesn't stop it. He brings us through it.
He brings us through it, yeah.
Amen. And so this is why I make the statement with confidence that God has brought us through more than he has delivered us from.
Amen.
God allows us to go through and face many things, but through it all, he proves his faith in it and that his grace is sufficient to carry us through.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. So again, a quick assessment, all our lives will most likely reveal that God has, in fact, brought us through a whole lot more than he has delivered us from. Amen?
Amen.
And this is important to keep in mind because sometimes when things happen, when we face adversity, we are not praying according to or consistent with the will of God. The will of God for our lives sometimes is to let something happen.
Yeah.
That does not look like it's good for me.
Right.
Sometimes the will of God is to let something, is to participate and let it happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes, Prophet's Valley, sometimes it is, in fact, the will of God to let the enemy do what he thinks he's big and bad enough to do because the process, he's moving into position to be defeated.
Yep. Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
And so if we go to the book of Daniel chapter 6, we're going to see just this. We're going to see this. And again, we're talking about the plan of God, how the plan of God evolves, how the plan of God works. And, you know, we're looking at it from a little bit different perspective tonight. We're looking at it from the perspective of adversity, the role of adversity in the plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
In Daniel chapter 6, this is the account now.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Daniel's going to be thrown in the lion's den. You know, they set him up. They had some art against him. And Daniel chapter 6. Verse 4 says, the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the
mm-hmm.
kingdom,
mm-hmm.
but they could not find a charge or fault because right. he was faithful.
Right.
And so he provoked them to envy and jealousy because, you know, he had God in his life and he had the favor of God and things were going well for him. And so it goes on to say, nor was there any error or fault found in him.
Mm-hmm.
And so then these men said in verse 5, we should not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Mm-hmm. And so they concocted a plan to set Daniel up, and they made accusation to the king, you know, concerning Daniel based upon Daniel's faith and the way Daniel exercised his faith and the way he walked out his relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly all of us are familiar with that particular story. Amen?
Amen.
Now, so when we jump down to verse 18, again, we're in Daniel chapter 6. When we go down to Daniel chapter 6, verse 18,
mm-hmm.
it says, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. This is after they put him in the lion's den. All right? And it says now,
mm-hmm.
no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him.
Yep.
Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lion. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lion?
Mm-hmm.
Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him.
Mm-hmm.
And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now, so we are familiar with the fact that God delivered that.
Yeah.
But the thing that we need to really look closely at is the fact that Daniel participated with the will of God to
right.
allow himself to be placed in the lion's den.
Yeah, wow.
It was, in fact, the will of God for Daniel to let that happen. So if we back up just a little bit now. I should have probably read this to start with. But if we go back to verse 11, let's look at the fact that Daniel does not try to save himself. He does not try to deliver himself from this. In verse 11, it says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And when they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree, they said to him, "Have you not noticed, have you not signed the decree that every man who petitions any god, a man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, who was one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Verse 14 says, "And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him." He tried to help Daniel. Then verse 15 says, "Then these men approached the king and said to the king, 'Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed.' So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." Mm-hmm. "But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.' Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his lord, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed." You don't hear Daniel say not one word throughout this whole, you know, event, this whole circumstance. He's not making any noise. He's not proclaiming his innocence. He's not resisting. He's not fighting. He's resolved that this is the will of God. He's going to let this thing happen.
Yeah.
He's going to let it happen, even though it appears to be life-threatening. You know, it's going to put his life on the line, but Daniel understands, you know, he's obviously resolved. It is the will of God for me to go through this.
Yeah.
You know, if we were to compare it to the incident with the three Hebrew boys, they said this. They said, "We know now our God can deliver us. But if not, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to bow down to this God that you worship in here." And so they too did not try to deliver themselves. They let it happen. They let it happen because they resolved that if this thing happens, it's going to be the will of God that it happens. And so they did not try to deliver themselves. This is good right here, Prophet Valley, because a lot of times when we get in a situation, we're facing adversity and things like that, we will try to deliver ourselves. We will begin to fight back.
Yeah.
We will take the battle in our own hands. You know, I hear so many people, so many times they proclaim the battle is not mine, but it is the Lord's. But they are fighting.
Yeah, they're fighting. Yeah.
You're fighting. You don't even believe what you're saying because you're fighting. You're resisting. If, in fact, it is the Lord's battle, let him fight it.
Yeah.
Why are you fighting with words? Why are you fighting, you know, with even, you know, trying to manipulate and control the situation? If, in fact, you believe it is the battle does, in fact, belong to the Lord.
And not just...
Amen?
Yeah, but, you know, when you talk about fighting, we sometimes, our attitude is a sign of fighting.
Yes.
Because when we get strong-willed in the midst of adversity and, you know, stubborn, like, I've got to do it this way, sometimes those mere acts of our emotional stuff will be the very thing that says to God, "I don't trust you."
Amen.
It's not like we're actually physically doing anything. But our mindset about the situation says, "I don't trust you." Yeah, I'm not moving, I'm not touching anything, but my mind ain't even right. So I'm still fighting.
Amen. Absolutely.
And it's, you know, again, in the conversation I shared today, I was sharing with her that what she's gone through these several years, she had been murmuring and complaining, saying, "God, I trust you, God, I trust you, God, I trust you." She said, "I've been praying the same prayer, and I've got to stop." I was like, "Well, you don't even trust what you're saying."
Amen.
So it's coming out of your mouth, true, but you don't even believe what you're asking God for. So to ask somebody to be in agreement with you in prayer, for what? You still don't believe that it's going to happen because you feel like too much has happened. Like, I'm in this by myself. Nobody's seeing my pain. Nobody's seeing my frustration. Nobody's realizing everything that I had to give up. How are you telling me that this is going to work out?
Amen.
But here it is, understanding the will, that if God has done this, and I told her, I said, if God is allowing this to happen, you've got to understand that the way that you're handling it will be the key to how long you have to stay there.
Exactly, exactly.
The sooner you go ahead and accept that this is the situation that I have with me now, the sooner you go ahead and embrace it, the sooner God can move you.
Amen, absolutely.
So we've got to learn the lesson.
Amen.
We've got to learn the lesson, and I think sometimes that just becomes too hard.
Amen.
Too painful.
Yes, yes.
Too painful. Too painful.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
You know, I think it's in Isaiah, God says he will set teachers in the midst of the adversity.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, again, going back to a message that we shared some months ago, perhaps, maybe a month or so ago, one of the things that we declare is the fact that we can make life real simple. Find out what God wants and give it to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is so true when you are in a situation that, you know, you're under pressure or you're striving or you're struggling and nothing has been moving forward. God is after something in that.
Yeah.
Even when you're under attack. You know, even when, you know, you're being persecuted and things like that, God is after something.
Yes, he is.
He's after something in you. And once, it's just like you're saying, Prophetess Valerie, as soon as we discover that and give that to him, God will release us.
You will.
And we will advance to the next place.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's some people that are listening, Prophetess, the same people keep showing up, creating the same drama.
And
the same people
it
keep
every
coming.
Time.
Exactly. Exactly. We're responding the same way to it every time. That person is what I call a personal trainer.
Absolutely.
That's a personal trainer. The job of the personal trainer is to create a situation. No training can take place until you have a situation. I always use this analogy, perhaps I've used it before on the broadcast, I repeat it here. When you're trying to potty train a child, no training can take place until you have a situation.
Yes.
You can have the potty, you can have all the little accessories, you can have all the gear. But until that child actually has to go to the bathroom, the child doesn't learn a thing.
Right.
There's no growth. There's no maturity. So the personal trainer, the person who's been coming into your life, creating the same habit, creating the same drama time after time, week after week, month after month, this person is a personal trainer. Our mistake is we have been responding the same way every time.
Yeah.
And our prayer is basically it boils down to God, just please get them out of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Please move them. But God wants to transform you. And he's using that situation to accomplish that. And the sooner you realize that and learn that the propensity and the capacity for the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit that within you needs to be what you rely on at that point in time, the love that's in you, the joy that's in you, the peace that's in you, that God wants to get you to a place where you realize you can be patient because it's in you.
Yeah. Yes.
You can love the unlovable because it's in you. You can have peace in spite of, you know, the circumstance because that's in you. All right. And the sooner you realize that and rely on the kingdom that's in you to respond to that situation, you're gonna be in that situation. You're just gonna be in it.
Yeah, you're gonna be there.
You're just gonna be in it.
I think it's in Proverbs 24, I think, that talks about how if you're weak in the day of adversity, then your strength
yes.
is small.
Yes.
You know, if you can't handle trouble, that really speaks to your character in God.
Amen.
So,
amen.
You know, if these things are coming and I say I'm kingdom, and as you spoke, the capacity and the propensity is in me to be everything I need to be, everything that he's designed me to be. But yet, as soon as trouble shows up on the scene, I'm falling out.
Exactly.
I'm throwing a fit.
Amen.
Then for real, what's in you?
Exactly. And, you know, we're so quick to lie.
Yeah.
We're so quick to lie because we say, oh, well, I just don't have patience with that kind of person. Well, you have to give, you have the fruit of patience in you, so that's a lie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're born again, patience is in you. But we'll lie, and we'll get ourselves supposedly off the hook by saying, well, I just don't have patience for that kind of mess. I don't have patience for that type of person. But the person keeps showing up.
Mm.
And you keep saying that you don't have something that you have.
Yeah.
So you're in a battle with God.
Yeah.
God is trying to get you to see that you do have what you claim you don't have.
Mm-mm-mm.
So you're fighting God.
Yeah.
You think it's the person, but it's really God. Because God is after that. He's after showing you that. He's after getting you to realize and acknowledge that there's something in you that you say is not in you. And so your battle is, in fact, with God.
And you've got to understand, too, that when these things happen, when your personal trainer shows up and shows up and shows up and shows up, yes, God is trying to show you something. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to allow you to know your truth as it regards the relationship that you have with him. But also you've got to know that when this happens, a trainer comes to prepare you.
Yes, yes.
A trainer comes to prepare you. When I you know, silly me, when I was doing the 10K, you know, I listened to people talk about how they went through all this training. Well, I didn't do training, Prophet. You know, I'm not.
Right.
You know, my sister was like, you want to go? I said, yeah, let's go.
Amen.
And bless God, I finished. But had I trained, I would have done a whole lot better.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Here we are going through these trials and tribulations, and God is sending that personal trainer back. He's sending
yes.
the adversity back to get your attention, to show you where you're weak, to show you where you need to really seek him some more about some clarity. And
yes.
they're struggling against this. So if you can't handle this, don't expect promotion.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't expect the promotion.
Amen.
Because if you can't handle the adversity here, understanding that when you're promoted, the adversity is going to be greater.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Where you're going, it's going to be greater.
It's going to be greater.
Amen. Prophetess Valley, speak to this now, because this is a large part of the issue as well. Responding out of the emotional realm versus the spirit. A lot of times that's what gets us in trouble.
Well,
we have not yet learned how not to respond out of our emotions. Or is it we haven't learned, you know, the difference between the emotional realm and the spirit realm?
I think that's all a part of our disciplined relationship, Prophet. Because we know that we're here and we have the emotions and we go through the feelings. But when we fail to acknowledge God in every situation, that's when we respond by the emotions.
Amen.
And so when we're not having that dialogue with him and seeking his instruction and his plan and his will for our life, then, yeah, when we get stuck, the first thing we say is, ouch, you stuck me.
Amen.
Instead
Amen.
Of saying, I was out of alignment, wasn't I, God?
Amen.
Because had I not been out of alignment, I wouldn't have got stuck. God, what
Absolutely.
Do I need to do to fix that? But we're quick to look for blame in other places.
Yes.
So that's what causes our emotions to rise up.
Amen.
You know, you have
Amen.
A disagreement with a significant other or a family member or any of that, you get emotional because, okay, now you messing with my territory. You messing with
yes.
my stuff. No, I'm coming back at you.
Right.
When God is saying that stuff is insignificant.
Amen.
I need you to
Amen.
Show the love of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Do that. So, you know, start as soon as things happen, that's what we get caught. Because when things happen in the instant, many of us are not disciplined enough to say, okay, God, what was that? And that happens because we're not having that conversation with him regularly.
Right. Right. Exactly.
We're not seeking him on everything. We seek
right.
him when it's the big thing. We seek him
right.
when it's the hard thing. We seek him when it's the crisis. But when it's every day I get up and the sun is shining, oh, well, I don't need to talk to God today because it's good.
Right.
And
exactly.
so that's when the adversity shows up and you go off.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I was teaching recently, one of the most fruitful disciplines that I learned to exercise on a consistent basis, I learned to exercise the Selah.
Amen.
Selah, the word Selah means to pause.
Oh, think on
and
these
to
things.
Calmly think about that. You know, so the way I practice that is on a consistent basis. I give myself the opportunity to sit calmly and to review the events of a particular day or a particular
mm-hmm.
week. And then the objective now is not just to review it, but to evaluate myself in the process.
Amen.
I want to give God, just like you're saying, I want to give the Father an opportunity to critique me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Conversations that I had, messages that I preached, encounters that I've had with people, situations that I was involved in things with people. I want to give the Father an opportunity to critique me. I don't want to assume that I met his requirements, because there are times when there's situations that happen and the Father will tell you, well, you know what, I expected a whole lot more from you. It's
right.
Similar to the way we treat our children.
Yeah, yeah.
As they mature and they grow, there's times when you go to them, you say, you know what, you know, at your age, I expect more from you.
Right, right, right.
I mean, you know, you're 16 now. I would have expected that from you when you were 10, but you're 16 now.
Mm-hmm.
I expect more from you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Father wants to have that type of dialogue, which is what you're saying. He wants to have that type of dialogue with us now.
Yeah.
Not to beat us up, not to condemn us, but to help us to grow,
mm-hmm.
help us to transform into who that he's always purposed us to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And so, you know, that's something that I practice consistently. You know, I give the Father, I want to engage him in dialogue, and I want him to critique me. I want him, you know, I want to know, did I meet your expectations? Did I miss anything? You know, is there something that I need to go back and clean up? Did I offend someone with how I handled that situation? If so, I still have the opportunity to go back and clean that up. And so, you know, that's what I call the Selah.
Amen.
When you stop and you reflect, you
Amen.
Review, and you evaluate. I think that's so important. And I think that that's one of the ways that we can accelerate our growth in our gifting.
Amen.
I'm persuaded, Prophetess, that that's one of the ways that we accelerate our growth in our gifting. So many saints of God study other people's gifting. And they don't study their own. Well, you can study all the prominent, you know, ministers of God, men and women of God. You can study their gifting, but that's not going to help you discover
exactly.
You're the gift.
Exactly.
Amen. I mean, you know, that's going to serve you to a certain point, but at a certain point, you know, you're going to need to study your own gifting.
Yes.
And when you learn to study your own gifting, learning how the anointing, the grace, the oil on your life, what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it smells like, what it tastes like,
mm-hmm.
what does it look like when it manifests through you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And begin to meditate and study that. That will accelerate your growth in your gifting. You know, so many of us, we're stuck in this mode. We're stuck in this mode when it comes to gifting. We're stuck in this mode of trying to figure out how. You know, sometimes in classes and even on these broadcasts, we just use terms such as discerning.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, people will say, well, how do you do that? Well, let me give you an analogy to help you. All right? This morning, if most of us got up, we got into our cars, we put the key into the ignition, we turned the key, the engine responded. All right, it responded to the turning of the key.
Mm-hmm.
Then we probably put the car into gear and we applied the gas,
mm-hmm.
and the car responded.
Yeah.
The car responded to the situation that we created.
Yeah.
Now, at no point does the car ask you, what should I do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The car responds based on how it is designed.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with us. God will put us in situations. He expects us to respond based on how he has designed us.
Amen.
So I can't spend the rest of my life trying to figure out how to do certain things that are part of who I am.
Right.
If I'm a lawnmower prophetess, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm just trying to help
Amen.
Somebody.
Amen. Amen.
If I am a lawnmower, I'm not going to spend all my life trying to figure out how to cut grass.
Yes. You know how to do that.
What's going to be important? if I understand I am a lawnmower, what does a lawnmower do? A lawnmower cuts grass.
Yeah.
So if you put me in the situation, I just respond based on how I am designed.
Yeah.
We got too many people getting stuck on how. How do I do this? How do I discern? You respond based on how you are designed.
Amen.
And so the objective, the important thing is discover who you are. Know who you are. And know, just not know who you are, but know what's a part of your DNA.
Yeah.
You know, there was a season where there was a lot of teaching about, you know, who we are in Christ. And I think that, you know, not a complete job in teaching people who they are in Christ, because we left out the part about the spiritual DNA. We didn't tell folks, you know, we talked about, you know, who I am in Christ. You know, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And all those things are certainly critically important to who we are in God. But what we left out is the DNA part. The DNA is my spiritual design. It's my spiritual makeup. So we fail to let people know that, guess what? Discernment is part of who you are. Discerning of spirits, working of miracles, the gift of faith, speaking in tongues, all these nine gifts and all these nine fruits of the Spirit are part of who you are.
Yeah.
So people are going about trying to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, not realize it. It's a part of who you are.
Yeah.
Focus on who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Learn who you are and know what's a part of that DNA. And then when God puts you in a situation, respond based on how he has designed you.
Amen.
Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
I was thinking when you spoke about how you have your Selah moment where you allow God to critique you. And, you know, show you what more you could have done to please him. I think that there's been a disservice to the same way we didn't teach DNA, we've not really taught people to understand how God will speak to us and how God will handle us. Because a lot of people say, God is love. God won't, you know, well, I know the words say he chastens those that he loves. But you know, God ain't going to come at me in a harsh manner. And no, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a harsh manner, but when you take time to really hear God, to allow him to critique you, it does you good. But nobody, people feel like they don't have to get God's critique. God's not going to critique them. But he absolutely will.
Yes, absolutely. He absolutely will. And you got to understand the character of God. God, I'll never forget years ago, God made this statement to me. He says, I'm a businessman. I'm a business person. And what he was taught in the context of what he was saying to me at that time was the fact that when he makes an investment, he expects a return on that investment.
Absolutely.
And you see that played out in the scripture. You know, the parable of the fig tree, you said that,
right.
You know, the servant, they had sown into this fig tree and they had produced nothing.
Nothing.
And so the master said, cut it down.
Yep.
It hasn't produced anything. And so this is the mindset of God. He invests all of this. He's invested his son. He's invested these gifts. He's invested grace. He's invested anointing. He's invested oil.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to produce? Certainly he's going to critique you.
Absolutely.
I've had God come to me several times and tell me, you did not tell that person what I told you to tell him.
Jesus.
And it wasn't, you know, he's coming strong.
Yeah.
He's coming strong, you know? It's not the oh son, don't worry about it, you get it next time. No. You heard what I said and you didn't tell him what I said. And basically the emphasis is I expect more of you than that. I expect more from you than that. And so certainly without a shadow of a doubt, God will critique us. He wants to have that type of dialogue because God is into exploiting his investments.
Wow.
He's into maximizing and optimizing. The scriptures all throughout the Bible, this mindset is displayed. You know, the Bible talks about he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. You know, that's in Proverbs 12:11, I think it is. You know, the emphasis is maximizing. maximizing the land.
Yeah.
You know, maximizing. And this is why God is totally against slothfulness and being slothful.
Yeah.
These are contrary to the character of God, where we just have something and we don't do anything with it. We don't optimize. We don't maximize the gifting, the grace. You know, God even now, prophet, is after, even now, some of us are struggling right now because we are not in position so that the gift and grace that he's invested in us can be maximized.
Amen.
He wants to maximize it. He wants you to be in a position where he can get everything out of you that he's invested in you.
Everything.
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 He wants us to go to the grave empty.
Wow.
Empty. You know?
Wow.
Empty. He wants to maximize. He wants to optimize. You know, that's why he stretches us. He places demands on us because there's always more in us than we even recognize and we even realize. So he places demand on us and stretches us in situations like we're looking at with that. We see the fact that, hey, I, by the grace of God, I can stand up under this kind of pressure.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
By the grace of God, man, I didn't falter. I didn't wilt. You know?
Yeah.
I stood in, and by the grace of God, he kept me. And so, you know, again, like you were saying earlier, this becomes necessary now in order for God to even get a return on his investment.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Even if you don't feel like you're worth what he's invested in you, you still got to go through this.
Come on, say that again.
Even if you don't feel like you're worth it, you'll be like, but it's God, it's me. I mean, God, come on. When people look at me, you know, they see, stop it. Just stop it. Just stop. Just stop.
Amen.
Because it doesn't matter what people see when they see you. It matters what God sees when he sees you.
Yes. Yes.
So stop disqualifying yourself. See, I'm talking
Absolutely.
To me like you talk to me, prophet.
Amen.
Stop diminishing
Amen.
What God has placed in your life.
Yes. Yes.
He has
yes.
purpose for you. He has a
yes.
plan for you. And he
yes.
wants you to get in alignment. Start
yes.
standing on his word. Stand on his promises.
Yes. Amen.
And no matter what comes, know that he did what he did on purpose.
Yes. Amen. You know, I think for some of us, we fail to recognize or realize the significance of the role that God has called us to play.
Yeah.
We fail to realize the significance of it. And I always go to Jonah when I mention that, because here's a man now, God obviously has made an investment in. This man has prophetic grace and oil on his life, but he decides that he's not going to do what God has called him to do, and so he pays his way to get on a boat to go in the opposite direction,
mm-hmm.
and God came after him.
Mm-hmm.
Some people need to go back and look at Jonah again, because you need to see the fact that. This is the other side of God. Like you were saying earlier, some people don't know about this side of God.
Yeah, yeah.
They know about the loving side of God, you know. But
yeah.
God has another side.
Yes, he does.
His
does.
Severity is just as sure. His severity is just as sure as his goodness.
Yes, it is.
Amen. And so you know what? Jonah saw the other side of God.
Yeah.
Because God, okay, you're not going to do it, huh? Okay, I'm going to come get you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
And so here now, he's on a boat with heathen. It appears that everybody on the is everybody else doesn't know God. Jonah's on this boat with these people, and he's causing all these problems for all the people,
mm-hmm.
because he's running from God. But this is the part that I want us to look at tonight, is the fact that once Jonah gets himself together, because he got swallowed up by the fish and all that kind of stuff, was in the fish's and belly and all that kind of stuff, and weeds wrapped around his head and just in a mess. Somebody's in a mess tonight because you ran away from the plan and the purpose of God. But he's in a mess. Jonah said one thing. Jonah said, you know what? I think I'm gonna reconsider.
Yeah.
let me look at this thing again. Let me take a second look at this. All right. Now, watch this now. So he gets himself together. The fish spits him out on land, and look at how quick the trial turned around.
Come on.
Once he gets back in line with God, the fish bombed him up. That thing was over just like that. It turned around.
Instantly.
instantly. A lot of the struggle, the majority of the struggles that we have in life are directly or indirectly related to our purpose. We're not lined up with what God wants from our lives.
Yes.
And this is the reason for struggle. It's not the devil.
Amen.
It's the fact that you have made choices and decisions to go in a different direction from which God has purposed and ordained for your life. And so you're in a mess. But Jonah gets himself together. The fish spits him out of the whole land. And Jonah goes down to Tarshish. And Jonah declares just a few words and turns the city upside down.
Wow.
Jonah doesn't go down there and preach a long message.
That's right.
Jonah basically goes down there and tells them to repent. One or two words. In fact, in the Bible, the message Jonah, we're given one sentence that Jonah said. It turned the whole city around. Even the king of the city repented and called a citywide fast.
My God.
He failed to realize the significance of the role that he was called to play. He failed to realize, look, if you just go down here and say one sentence,
mm-hmm.
it's going to turn a city around.
My God.
And that's something.
My God.
One sentence turned the whole city around. So a lot of times we fail to recognize or realize the significance of who we are and the role that God has called us to play. We belittle, we discredit, we devalue our own selves in the sight of God. And we take this attitude or this mindset that if I don't do it, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Not so.
Wow, yeah. Yeah.
Not so. Other people are dependent on what you are in the earth to do.
Exactly.
Amen?
Yep.
Jesus made this statement. It's profound. He says the multitude had followed them into the desert. He had had this campaign in the desert, and they didn't have anything to eat. And the disciples told him, said, well, send them back so they can go back home and get something to eat. And Jesus said this. He says they've been out here with us for so many days now. And he says if we send them back, some of them are not going to make it.
Yeah.
Somebody ain't going to make it. If we don't do what we're supposed to do right here, somebody is not going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So your role is important and significant in the plan of God.
It is.
Amen?
It is.
Amen. I think we're just about out of time, Prophet.
Yeah, we're down to a couple minutes.
But I just pray that people realize that, you know, we got to be able to deal with the adversity that will be a part of the plan of God. God wants to set us up. You know, in this situation with Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, we see the end result of that, how Daniel got promoted, got blessed.
Yeah.
But the whole plan involved him being in the lion's den.
And him
that was part of the plan.
It. And him not fighting it.
Exactly. He let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, we could have went to Acts chapter 4 where it talks about, you know, how God allowed, you know, the crucifixion of Jesus.
Yeah.
It was all part of the plan.
Yeah.
Jesus had to let that happen.
Absolutely.
He couldn't fight it. It was part of the plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. We got to just let it happen.
Got to let it happen. You got to resolve that that is part
come.
Of the plan.
We know that they're going to come.
Amen.
The word declares it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He will deliver us out of them all. So don't
exactly.
faint in the midst of this. Just
Amen.
Keep on. Trust that you know what God has placed in you. He's given
yes.
you everything that you need to make it.
Yes.
All he wants you to do is just trust him.
Yes.
Stop looking at other
Amen.
People. Reflect on yourself.
Yes.
Know what's in you. Stop comparing it to others.
That's right.
Know
That's
what's
right.
in you.
Amen.
Knowing that God has given you everything that you need to go through.
Yes.
To go through. So we bless God. Prophet, you want to close us out in prayer? Or we have anything coming up right away? No?
We have a Kingdom Summit on April 6th in Mattapani, Virginia. So all the saints of God in that area, come on out and be empowered. Four powerful facilitators are going to bring forth the word and impact your life. And we're also planning an event in the month of August at Sandy Cove. It's going to be a retreat-type event, and we'll give you more details about that in the weeks to come.
Amen. Amen. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you for everything that's been spoken. God, we thank you for every listening here. God, we thank you for these seeds that will penetrate to the very core of where it needs to be, God, to allow the transformation to come about. We bless you, God, and we give you praise for it in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you all.